Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years with 7 cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. You're tuned into Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my next guest is here to talk animals. Welcome wildlife education and outreach specialist for Alaska Department of Fish and Game, Abby McAllister. Hello, Abby.
Hi, Shelley. Thanks so much for having me. It's always great to be back and talking about our furry wild neighbors.
I enjoy it as well. I'm glad you do too. Yeah. So we do this about once a quarter, usually around the time the seasons are changing, and check in with you about what our local wildlife is up to. But before we get to that, I am curious to hear about how your department is going about their daily activities. Are you working from home or finding more excuses for field research? Going outside?
You know, it's a little bit of everything, depending on, you know, the person who's doing the work. So for me, I am doing a lot of teleworking. My job is outreach. It's easy to do from home. It's easy to do from the office. But the office is pretty quiet. A lot of the biologists have, as you said, found reasons to be in the field as often as possible. And so that's been great for their social distancing. But as far as our frontline staff and our management biologists, they are in the office. And for them, business is pretty much as usual. They really, you know, have a duty to serve the hunters and harvesters of Alaska. And so they are available Monday through Friday, you know, 8 to 4:30, but just to kind of protect, you know, themselves, their families, and of course our community, we really do still encourage everyone to go online for their harvest permits or hunting licenses if you still need one, or your permits, just to, you know, everything can be done online at hunt.alaska.gov. And then if you have any questions for whatever reason, or you get hung up, you know, feel free to call any of our area offices. And those numbers are all on Alaska, adfg.alaska.gov, for any of our area offices, because we really are here to help. But things are pretty much business as usual. We're just encouraging folks to do as much as they can from home, as we all are, and also to give us a call if you do have questions. And then if you really hit a roadblock and you can't seem to get over that hurdle, then yeah, come on in and we'll help you out.
And how have the last couple months been for you and your colleagues since the last time we talked? Have you had any interesting or exciting or scary wildlife encounters?
Thankfully, nothing scary. Lots of interesting bear activity. You know, some of it quite fascinating to see. You know, it's not always rosy and bright in the urban bear world. In fact, there was a lot of sleepless nights for some of our area biologists who were handling bear calls. It was a very busy season, as we last discussed. But you know, what I find interesting is how quickly and creatively bears learn to obtain food. In times of when, you know, other food sources that they're used to, like salmon and berries, are scarce, they really are quite creative. And it's partly due to their curiosity. They have such great senses of smell and hearing. And they're so curious that they're able to find new and unusual ways to get at foods, whether it's opening car doors. And it didn't just happen in Juneau. It was happening in Haines, you know, or gosh, just, you know, figuring out a way to get into a chicken coop, but not eat the chickens because those are hard to catch, but eat the food instead. I mean, it's really, it was interesting to see these bears adapt to challenges in their own wild environment. Other than that, you know, it was a pretty normal wildlife year. I see one thing. This is actually a good segue into my next topic that I wanted to share with folks who are listening, is that we did get to pull a trail camera from the field this spring that was watching a maternal bat roost where little brown bats were raising their young. And it also happened to be the site of what we thought was an abandoned brown bear den on Admiralty. Hmm. Well, last winter in December, some colleagues and I went to go pull all the cameras and all of the devices out of the field so they didn't get damaged over the winter. And we walked up on this den site, and it was very clear that not only was the den active, but the bear was not yet fully asleep because it had just freshly snowed and there were paw prints right outside the exit of the den. And you could see that the bear had been licking the snow. off of the rocks. And so we got out of there very quickly and we left the camera behind. But when we got the camera back, it was so fascinating to see the behavior of the bear as it went to sleep. Not only were we surprised that the bear was still awake on December 9th, but it was also fascinating to see that the bear doesn't just go into the den and go all the way to sleep. It's this very kind of long, slow process of going in and coming out and going in and coming out. We watched it gather boughs and debris to make a nest on the inside. We watched as the snow fell, it would come out to kind of lick the snow and probably get a little bit of hydration in its body. But once, you know, that snow really settled in, it didn't come out again. But it was so interesting because it would come out and kind of sniff around and then go back in and nap some more. So that was kind of an interesting thing. We don't often get glimpses into the lives of these animals in our, you know, forests. And that was kind of a cool one to see.
And was it indeed a brown bear?
Yeah, it was. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And are you going to?
Yeah, it looked like a.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say, it looked like it was a female brown bear, an adult. You know, we have no idea how old she is or anything like that. But yeah, we were, she was definitely in there when we walked up to the den.
And do you plan on putting that trail camera back where it was?
I don't know if the biologist did. The two biologists are Karen and Tori, who study little brown bats in Southeast. And I haven't asked them if they put the trail camera back up yet. I would guess that this year they're going to skip that site.
Yeah. Sounds like it's not abandoned. So
no, it's not. It's active. Yeah.
All right.
So, but that also brings me to my point I also wanted to discuss with you is that for hunters out there, of course, we're deep in harvest season right now. Moose season just wrapped up on October 15th. And deer season is still going. But, you know, for anybody out there who is looking to harvest, I and other biologists would probably encourage hunters to wait, you know, as long as they can before they really go out in earnest to hunt deer because bears are still active. They may not be, they've definitely quieted down. You know, we're not getting as many bear calls, but they're definitely still active and, we have had a couple instances, not many, but a couple anecdotal reports of bears coming in contact with hunters already so far in the field this season. And so because it was such a low wild food season for bears, I would encourage folks to just, you know, practice extra precaution when in the field out hunting and definitely wait as long as you can to really, you know, give yourself the best chance that those bears are fully asleep.
And how long do hunters have left on deer season?
So for the state season, they have until December 31st. The federal subsistence season goes a bit longer, and that depends on your area, but I believe that goes into, in some areas of Southeast, the federal hunt goes to the end of January. But for folks around Juneau, where we don't qualify as a subsistence area, December 31st is the last day to hunt.
Okay. And is it still waterfowl hunting season?
You know, it is. And, you know, waterfowl hunting season is on an alternating yearly schedule. And this year we started later. So that we started on September 15th. And so it ends on December 31st, coincides with the end of deer season, which is kind of nice to remember. So, and the shooting hours for waterfowl season, of course, Mendenhall Wetlands is a really popular area for waterfowl hunters to go. And so the shooting hours, just a reminder for residents who might live nearby, are from dawn until dusk. And of course, hunting is best in the dawn hours. And so often I know, even from where I live, I'll be laying in bed at, you know, 6:30 in the morning, 6:45, and I'll hear boom, 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 boom. And I know I'm not alone. And it's not just a hunter with a really bad shot. It's those waterfowl hunters chasing after those ducks out there. So no, not to be alarmed if you hear that. And it might go on till the end of the year.
I often am walking my dog out on the airport trail, and I hear and see the hunters quite frequently out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's a popular spot. Yeah.
All right. So hunters need to be bear aware. The harvest season for moose is over. Deer and waterfowl is still open. What else would you like to share today, Abby?
Well, I guess on the topic of moose, just make sure that folks need to report on their moose registration permits. Even if you didn't harvest a moose, you'd still need to report. And as far as moose harvest goes, for any hunters that are listening and are interested, it was another really pretty solid year for moose harvest around the region. The Taku River drainage has been, last year, I think it was a record year for moose harvest in the Taku. And that's an any bull hunt, which means that there's not an antler restriction. If it's a male moose, you can take it. And this year we had 38 moose harvested out of the Taku. Another really popular hunt, but is a draw only, is Burners Bay area. And we had 7 moose harvested out of there, plus 2 on federal draw permits. And then Yakutat's had a good year too, 32 moose out of the west side of the Dangerous River. The east side, they've had 26 moose. That hunt is still open. Gustavus, they had 8 moose taken, and that's exactly where they wanted to be. They closed that after those 8 moose were harvested. They want to maintain that that population out there. It's had some pressure from some outside predators, and so the moose harvest was smaller than normal in Gustavus. But it's been a pretty strong year, so congratulations to all those who were successful. And I believe that there is still time to put in your draw results were already announced. That's a different topic. Sorry.
It's okay.
Going off on a segue on you there.
We can talk about that next time.
There you go. But yeah, I think, we do have some virtual presentations coming up if people are interested. I have been doing a lot of, you and I have talked in the past about bow and beyond bow classes. And of course, we haven't been holding those in person, but we have been doing them virtually. In fact, last week, I just finished up a deer hunting series for Beyond Bow. We did natural history, hunting nutrition, and then what to pack when you're going deer hunting. And coming up next week, we have a wildlife safety presentation. It's geared toward Petersburg residents because they have urban bear issues, just like a lot of Southeast community. But we're going to be talking about some really, some principles for being bear aware, how to react in a bear encounter that is applicable all over the state, all over North America, frankly. And so if folks want to join in on that presentation, it's done virtually via Zoom. It's all free. And it is on Wednesday, November 4th at 7 p.m. If you go to Southeast Alaska ADF&G's Facebook page, you'll find the event there. And it'll have all the information on how to sign up. We just require pre-registration. And then coming up after that in November, we have our annual Sharing the Trails presentation, which will also be done virtually, of course. And this is one where we just invite the public and local trappers to come and get information about trapping in the Juneau area, where it's allowed, where it's not. And if you are a dog owner and you walk your dog often in the winter on Juneau's trails, which why not? It's, so accessible in the winter. Just how to make sure that you keep your pet safe and out of trouble when trapping season is open. So that's coming up on November 19th at 6 p.m. via Zoom.
All right. Those sound like great classes to check in on, get a review of safety with wildlife and trails and trapping and traps. So thank you very much for coordinating those and for letting us know about them. Is there anything else you want to share with our listeners today, Abby?
Sure. I would just say that if you want to keep up on some of these events, that you can either go to our bow page, that's bow.adfg.alaska.gov, click on the schedules and events tab, and you can see all the upcoming ones. If you just want more general, you want to just keep up with general events like the Sharing the Trails presentation, go to news-events.adfg.alaska.gov and click on community events, and that'll take you there.
And one last time, could you share your phone number, the phone number for Fishing Game?
Yeah, absolutely. So to contact, if you wanted to contact the front desk, if you want to contact Roy Churchwell, he's our area biologist. He can help you with pretty much everything. His direct line is 465-4266. And if you want to get more general information, it's 465-4265.
All right. Well, Abby McAllister, it's been wonderful to have you on for another Wildlife Roundup. It's always fascinating, and I love to hear about what our animals are up to. So thanks so much. Anything else before we say goodbye today?
That's it. Thanks so much, Shelley. And for all those hunters out there, be safe and good luck.
All right. We'll talk to you next time. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.